Thank you, Carlos, for getting us the reading of the scripture there from Matthew chapter 19. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep their Bibles opened up there to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to begin there with our study in just a few moments. Certainly want to appreciate Max for leading us in those very encouraging, uplifting hymns as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. Thank Michael for the good prayer that he led us in a few moments ago as well. And certainly encouraged by the presence of each and every one who are present here this day. And certainly want to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible and follow along with our lesson this morning titled False Doctrines Concerning Divorce and Remarriage. And before we engage in our study this morning, I just want to take a moment to express to each and every one that we're going to talk about some things that are of controversy today among many people in the world we live in and even among some of our own brethren. So if there would happen to be something this morning that would be said that you don't understand or agree with, please feel free to approach me about it. I'd be more than happy to take the time to study any of your questions and or concerns. But please keep an open Bible and keep me in check and follow along as what we plan to present this morning is all from the Word of God. And as we mentioned, sadly, we live in a society today in which many are choosing to disregard God's law concerning divorce and remarriage. Even sadder, there are some in the Lord's church who are disregarding the truth and are teaching false doctrine concerning divorce and remarriage. Therefore, there is a great need to study what the Bible teaches about divorce and remarriage. So knowing that, let's go to the Bible this morning and let's refute some false doctrines concerning divorce and remarriage. And I want to begin with the false doctrine that many claim today that divorce and remarriage is allowed for any cause. I venture to say that you've probably been talking to some who have been in a relationship that they're not happy with. They've been in a relationship to where they would say exist under terrible circumstances. Those terrible circumstances could be things such as incompatibility. Have you ever talked to anyone before who's been in a relationship and they said it's just a terrible relationship? We've fallen out of love with one another. We just don't love one another anymore. Have you ever heard that before? I venture to say you probably have. It's very common, again, in our society today. Also, you probably heard of some that's been in, it has seriously been in terrible relationships. Relationships that are very abusive. Relationships where one spouse is physically abusive. And maybe even a relationship where one spouse is a drunkard and they're just absurd to live with. I venture to say you've heard of situations like that, right? But there are some who today claim that marriages that exist under those terrible circumstances justify divorce and remarriage. There are some who believe that if you've just fallen out of love with your mate, you can just put her away, divorce her, and remarry someone who you feel more compatible with. There are some who believe that. There are some who even teach that today. There are some, who believe that you can just literally divorce your spouse and put them away for just any reason, for every cause. However, we need to be mindful of what Jesus said when he was asked that specific question there in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 3, as Carlos so ably read for us a few moments ago. Go back there with me, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version this morning. And there in Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 3, I want you to notice this question that was asked to Jesus. There in Matthew 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, that being Jesus, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Simply put, the question is, can a man divorce his wife for any reason? That's a good question, isn't it? That is a very good question. Not only was that a good question to consider in the first century, but it's also a good question that needs to be considered in the 21st century. That's a very good question. Can a man divorce his wife for just any reason? Now, I want you to notice how Jesus answered that question, because Jesus gives an answer, doesn't he? Picking up here in verse number 4. And he, that being Jesus, answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Notice Jesus' response to that question. Again, they're challenging him with this question. But notice what Jesus said about that in verse 8. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Stop there for a moment. You see, when Jesus said, But from the beginning it was not so, he's simply saying, although Moses permitted it, it was never the design plan of God for it to be that way. God never intended for it to be that way. Picking up in verse 9, here's our answer. Pay attention. Because Jesus says, And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, now pay attention, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. There's our answer. When Jesus was asked, Is it lawful? Simply put, is it acceptable before God for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Jesus specifically said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, That I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. That one and only reason is found right there in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. You see, when Jesus was asked that important question, can a man divorce his wife for any reason? He said there is only one, and I repeat, only one exception for divorce. What is that exception? Fornication. And by the way, fornication comes from the Greek word porneia, which denotes every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. That's what that means. Jesus says that is the one and only exception for divorce. And again, we need to point out, when it comes to divorce, God hates it. No matter what circumstance it is, God hates divorce. We learn about that in Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 16. God hates divorce. We need to understand that. But here we see that if one is in a relationship that is a lawful union, and their spouse commits fornication, then the innocent party is freed from that marriage bond and may remarry one who is eligible to be married without committing adultery. But if one marries one who committeth adultery, guess what that makes them? It makes them guilty of adultery. That's serious, isn't it? That's very serious. And we see that right here in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, when Jesus gives that one and only one exception for putting away one's wife, that being fornication, he also made it very clear that if one marries another who committeth adultery, and whoso marry her which is put away doth commit adultery. That's serious. You see, we need to understand that although there are many today who claim that divorce and remarriage is allowed for any cause, we need to be mindful that Jesus plainly denies this theory. It's clear. Very clear right there in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And we need to be mindful that man has no authority to legislate laws in contradiction to God's divine will. Period. And we see here where Jesus made it very clear that man is not to divorce for any reason. Only one. is justifiable. We must accept what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage rather than accept this false theory proposed by men. But I also suggest to us this morning another false doctrine concerning divorce and remarriage. There are some who believe and teach that the divorce and remarriage is permissible if one spouse looks upon another with the aim to lust after them in their mind, even though they do not commit the physical act of fornication. There are some who believe this. There are some that if one just looks upon another with the intent to be with them, with the intent and the desire to possess that one in whom they have no right, although that physical act of fornication wasn't put together, that they believe they can put their spouse away for that. Did you know that? You see, those who hold this view base their belief upon what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. And turn there with me, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. And here in Matthew chapter 5, and in verse number 28, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And Jesus said that in response to what he said in verse 27. And in verse 27, he says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." So Jesus here, in the context here, is addressing the topic of adultery. And he's addressing the Jews here, and he's telling them that the fact that they have heard that it was said by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery, that was actually one of the Ten Commandments, right? They understood that. And do you know, they took that very seriously. They took adultery seriously. And even under the law of Moses, those that were guilty of committing adultery, what was to happen to them? They were to be put to death. It was something that was taken seriously. But Jesus says here in verse number 28, although you've heard that thou shalt not commit adultery, he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You see, what Jesus is saying here in verse number 28 of Matthew chapter 5, what he is saying, what he is teaching here, is that the sin of adultery begins in the heart. That's what he's teaching here. And we see, keeping this in context, that Jesus isn't saying that if lusting after another gives you a right to put that person away. That's not what he's saying here. Because notice, as we keep it in context, fast forward there to verse number 32. Notice what Jesus says here. Because he gives a warning about that in verses 29 and 30 about the need to be careful not to let this lust cause you to commit adultery. And he warns about that. Let's just read that in verse 29 when he says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." But again, verse 32, notice what Jesus says about this. "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving," that simply means except for what, Jesus? "For the cause of fornication causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." There it is. Again, there is one and only one reason that justifies putting away one spouse. And what is that? Fornication, the physical act. Again, fornication denotes every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. Again, I bring this out because of the fact that I have heard of situations where A woman has found her husband checking out pornography on the internet. And when she catches him checking out pornography on the internet, she believes she has that right to put him away, to divorce him, and to remarry another. And I have known of some who have done that based off of what they see in Matthew 5 and verse 28. I've known of situations like that. That's a false doctrine. That's false. We need to understand that although lusting after another and desiring to possess one in whom you have no right, although that is a sinful act, it does not give one a right to divorce and remarry because the physical act of fornication has not been committed. That's important. Very important. And again, when it comes to the false doctrines and teachings of men, we must always accept what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage rather than to accept the false theory proposed by men. But here's another one. There are some who believe and teach that divorces and remarriage that occur before one becomes a Christian are of no consequence because non-Christians are not subject to the law of Christ. Have you ever heard about that before? You see, the first time I heard about that was a few years ago when I started teaching Bible classes at the Putnamville Correctional Facility. And there was many inmates that would come in there, and when we would talk about Matthew 19, and we'd talk about the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, they would have a lot of questions. Because there was a lot of those inmates in there who have been married multiple times. And I remember in one study about marriage, divorce, and remarriage at the prison that one of the inmates who was married multiple times made the comment, well, that doesn't apply to me because I didn't know that until now. That doesn't apply to me because not only did I not know that, but I'm not a Christian. So that doesn't apply to me. There are some who believe that. And those who hold this view fail to realize that Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. We talked about that in our recent series on authority, didn't we, this past month? And we talked about the fact that Jesus has all authority, Matthew 28 and verse number 18, in heaven and on earth. Simply, what that means is Jesus has all power. He has all power. The right to command. And did you know that all flesh are under his authority? Did you know that? You see, we learn about that in John chapter 17. And here we learn that all flesh, that means whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, all flesh are under the power or the authority of Jesus Christ. Here in John chapter 17, and as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here in John 17. Jesus is getting ready to pray to the Father. And here in John 17, as he lifted up his eyes to heaven, he said, beginning in verse 1, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. Now watch verse 2. As thou hast given him power. Power over who? Over all flesh. You see that? You see, we need to notice that when Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery, indicates that this rule applies to all mankind. That's key. Jesus says, whosoever. That's everyone. That's all men. And we need to understand that when people believe that divorces and remarriages that occur before one becomes a Christian are of no consequence because non-Christians are not subject to the law of Christ, that this is a false doctrine. Because as we have pointed out, all flesh are subject to the authority of Christ. But here's another one. There are some who believe and teach that divorce and remarriage is permissible if a believer is deserted by an unbeliever. You see, those who hold to this view base their belief off of what the Apostle Paul revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse number 15. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to 1 Corinthians 7. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse number 15, Paul said, "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." Again, there are some who want to put their finger on what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 15 and say, see, if an unbeliever departs from a believer, that believer is no longer under that marriage bond. They're freed from that, and they're free to marry another. There are some who hold that view. But you want to know something? The Apostle Paul is not stating any further revelation on the subject of remarriage here in verse number 7 of and verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 15. He's not stating any further revelation on the subject of the word remarriage. And it's important to note that the Greek word for bondage found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15 is never used with reference to the marriage bond. Did you know that? You see, the word translated bondage here in the Greek is the word douloo, and it simply means to make a slave of. That's what that means. That's what Paul's talking about here. And the bondage that is referred to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, has to do with the obligations of a Christian to their mate. And if the unbelieving mate chooses to leave the Christian, then the Christian is unable to perform those obligations. And in such cases, he or she is not under the bondage to do the impossible. That's important. Because when Paul picks up and again is talking about the fact there in verse number 27, and fast forward there to verse number 27. Because Paul says here, "Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife." That word bound there, again, comes from a totally different Greek word than the word bondage in verse 15. And that word, Greek word there, found in verse number 27, simply means to bind. It means the fact that they are to bind, that they are to put under obligation of the law. And again, we need to understand to keep things in context when we are discussing the topic of divorce and remarriage. You see, here's the thing. Nothing revealed by the apostles by the Holy Spirit could be in contradiction with what Jesus taught. We learn about that in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And Jesus specifically taught that there is only one exception for divorce and remarriage, as we've talked about already in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. What is that one exception? Fornication. You got it. That's it. And we need to understand that nothing revealed by the apostles, by the Holy Spirit, could be in contradiction with what Jesus taught. And Paul is not giving any further revelation on the subject of remarriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse number 15. But here's another one to share with you this morning. There are some today who believe and teach that unscripturally divorced and remarried people may remain married after baptism. You see, some believe and teach that if an adulterous marriage occurred before baptism, it is forgiven at the point of baptism, as is any other sin, and therefore one can remain remarried. There are some who believe and teach that today. But you want to know something? We need to be mindful that the Bible teaches that baptism forgives all past sins that have been repented of. Remember there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, as Peter and the apostles were preaching Christ and him crucified to those Jews on the day of Pentecost, they were cut to the heart, weren't they? There in verse number 37 of Acts 2. And then they asked an all-important question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What was Peter's response to them in verse number 38? Repent. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. You see, Peter made it very clear when they asked that question, what shall we do, of the need to repent? And by the way, you know what that word repent means? That word repent means to turn away from. It means to stop doing something. To change. And we need to be mindful of the fact that the Bible teaches that baptism forgives past sins that have been repented of. To give you an example of that, notice this with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I just want to begin reading here in verse number 9. And here Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Anytime you see those words in the scripture, pay attention. Because what is about to follow is very, very important. And Paul says here, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor Ephraimites, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch this in verse 11. And such were some of you. Stop there. Paul is addressing some in Corinth who were guilty at one time of these sinful actions that Paul made it very clear that the unrighteous who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some were guilty of that. As he says, and such were some of you. But here we see that they stopped doing that, didn't they? Something happened. There was a change. Notice, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, again, we need to understand that one must not continue in sin after they have been baptized. And baptism does not wipe away adulterous relationships. Doesn't do it. And if one is in an adulterous relationship and they're baptized for the remission of their sins, and as soon as they're raised up out of that watery grave, they continue in that unlawful marriage, guess what? They're still an adulterer. They're still an adulterer. They are still an adulterer. And we need to understand, as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, when he says, committeth adultery, that is in the present tense, denoting a continued action. You can't be baptized for the remission of your sins and then continue to live in sin and be justified. Period. You see, the Lord's teaching on divorce and remarriage is plain and simple. Therefore, may we all always put our faith in what Jesus has said about divorce and remarriage And let's always be determined to follow what Jesus has said about divorce and remarriage. Knowing that, may we all always oppose the false doctrines of men concerning divorce and remarriage, never forgetting that failure to do so puts souls at risk of being lost for all of eternity. That's serious, isn't it? You see, again, going back to the times when I used to go to the prison and teach classes concerning divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, I've heard men who recognize that they are in an unlawful marriage make the statement, "But I love them so much, I just don't know how I could live without them. I can't put them away. I know I'm wrong, but I love them so much, and I couldn't continue to live without them." And you want to know what my response to them was? My response to them was, "Do you love them enough that you want them to someday go to heaven?" And they said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Then you'll do what God has said that you need to do to make that right." Because we point out the fact that those that are in adultery, their souls are in danger of hellfire. It's very clear there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Fornicators, adulterers, those who die in that as an adulterer, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, are they? And there is nothing, and I repeat, there is nothing that is more valuable than one's soul. There is no relationship upon this earth that is worth continuing to stay in if it is not lawful before the sight of God that is worth losing your soul for. Because here's the thing. We're only going to be here upon this earth for a little time. But eternity is forever and ever. It is without end. And there is nothing worth losing your soul for. Not even being or continuing in an unlawful, unscriptural marriage. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you too want that hope of eternal life in heaven. We plead with you to submit your life in obedience to the Lord and His will this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life, just as those Corinthians did, as we talked about a few moments ago there from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. You can turn from sin and turn to God. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you could be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and in verse number 2. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. You're encouraged to repent, to confess that to God, and to ask Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be. Won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.